introduce our speaker, Carmelita W. from Washington, D.C.
Thank you. My name is Carmelita, and I'm an addict. And I want to thank the young man who called to ask me to come here today. It's always a privilege when someone asks me to do something. I want to thank the young lady that I sponsor who was willing to drive me here. I also want to thank the God of my understanding for the beautiful weather for today and waking me up this morning so I could do the responsible things. I want to give God some praise because not only am I here today, but my daughter is also. And the people in the fellowship always told me, you keep going to meetings so that when she show up, it'll all be all right. I really thank God because he knows just what to do and when to do it. I came from a little town in Maryland called Croom. Okay, I'm not very brave, so I don't like animals, bugs of any kind. Anyway, I'm from a little town in Maryland called Croom. Nobody knows where that is, so don't worry about it, okay? But I was there until I was 19 years of age, and my life just blew wide open at 19. My mother and father separated, and I got to go to a place called Moonlight Inn. And they was having big fun, and I said, well, I can have fun now, because she's gone. My mother was the controller, the disciplinary in my household. So when she left, I got to do what I've been wanting to do for years. I wouldn't even go back to college because I wanted to go out and drink and have fun. And I didn't have ever a particular drink. I drank whatever was put on the table and chased it with whatever I could get. Go home 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, get up and go to my job, change clothes and go back to Moonlight Inn the next night. And I did that on a regular basis. And then my mother heard that I was doing things that she didn't like. So they came back to Croom to get me. And I don't know what the hell they thought they could do, you know. They had let me loose. And I went to the government employment office and got a job at a place called Ben's Chili Bowl. Even if you go there today, it's still there. And all the addicts, all the moonlighters, all the gamblers, all the prostitutes, and people like me just hanging around still go there with no purpose in life. One day I met a guy who came in that place, and he said something I thought was really great. He said, "Hi, baby." And that was all that he had to say. That was all. And I went off with with this man like he was the God up above. I didn't know the guy was doing things, you know, like shooting dope and selling dope and whatever else. But I just knew that he loved me because he said, "Hi, baby." Now, we never did get married, but there's only one thing about that story. Every time I looked up, somebody was saying, "Hi, baby." And I was going off to the races again. That's really my story. I didn't go out and shoot people and rob places and get ugly. I ain't do none of that. I just allowed him one day to give me a shot of heroin. You know, I ain't do no puffing before or snorting or none of that. I mainlined heroin the first time I used it, and it made me feel real good. And I said, "This is it. This is it. I've been wondering all my life where this was." I was strung out. I heard somebody here say today, I thought I was the only one, but I was addicted in 7 days. 7 fucking days. I woke up one morning, eyes running, nose running, feeling chilly, then getting hot, vomiting, and I'm saying, "What's wrong with me?" So we thought, of course, I was pregnant. Well, that wasn't true either. I had a habit, and he said, "You're going to get one more shot, just one more." And I said, "Okay," because I did not understand the process then. And I began to use, and I began to use. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I really became a user. I used heroin like it was sugar. And I did that whether I had to go to work, go to church, go wherever I had to go. I shot up dope. One time I had to go to my grandmother's funeral in Philadelphia. And I had to go somewhere and get me enough dope so I could get back to Washington. But you know what I did at my grandmother's funeral? I overdosed. And my mother was so unhappy. She had told me I was going to be nothing and have a house full of kids and go nowhere. Well, that was cool. I said, "I'll make, you know, let her be right for once." I ain't got no problem with that. Folks, I used for a long time, 20 years, I used heroin. I did not, you know, get a little of this and a little. I use heroin. And I'm going to tell you something. That shit is, what it does to you is unbelievable. You know, and I would not do that to a dog today. I had a problem with identifying in my own life. So when I started to use heroin, there was no identity at all. During the years, I had 2 children out of wedlock. I had a mother, thank God for her, because she raised my 2 kids, okay? I might have kept them for a year or two after they were born. I got married in those years. We stayed together for a long time, and then he, you know, asked me to marry him. We stayed together 2 months after the marriage. I don't know where that fucker is right now. I really don't. I just had regular problems in my life. I was not being haunted by the police or nothing like that. The only bad thing I really did at that time, I borrowed money a lot. And I went to every loan company I could find. And I owed all of them money. And I was able always, when I went into my first treatment in 1962, okay, I met a guy who was coming in for treatment, and he said, "Hi, baby." We had to go first before he come into treatment. And it just kept doing this over and over and over and over. Just that simple. I've always had a job. Never went without a job because my mother told me when I was a girl, you better take care of you. Nobody's going to take care of you, okay? So I kept a job. I even got a job in the good government when I went to treatment. And nobody never questioned anything. And I was a good worker, always was a good worker. After all these years of dipping in and dipping out, I finally started doing something I really hoped and prayed to God I could do it. And that was to try to commit suicide. I was becoming really sick of myself. And every time, no matter how much I took, no matter how many pills I took, I would wake up in the hospital with IVs running everywhere and I'd say the same old thing. Why don't they let me die? I didn't know about God then. I didn't know. And then one day, I really had had enough. I really had had enough. There's a corner there in Washington called 14th and T. And I went to that corner one night, and me and this guy and four or five other addicts in a place that was roach infested, dirty, just awful. Places like that I never went to. But I did that night, and no matter what I used, it didn't work. I thought somebody had tricked me. They took my dope, or they just gave me some powder or whatever. But you know what? It was dope. I didn't know about God then. And I had my first rude awakening that night. I came out of that place on a bright sunny day like today, and I said, I got to go get me some help. I had known about treatment. I had known somebody I'd been with on the street. And I went right to the magic monastery in Washington, D.C. called St. Elizabeth. Yes, I did. And I asked those people, would they help me? And they said, yes, but I had to sit in this corner of that office and look at a sign that said, don't blow this chance, for 8 hours. You see, back there, they had what you call therapeutic communities, and they didn't play. It was the first time anybody had ever called me a bitch. But I couldn't do nothing about it. I was doing just that bad. After I sit there 8 hours, they came and got me and said, we're ready to interview you. By the time they got ready to start the interview, I was down on bending knees, begging those people to help me. You see, today, the addict that comes in the room don't even know what fucking pain is. They just have a bad day and come to the fellowship. You know, they done run out of money, or mama won't give them none, or whatever, you know. I was in that kind of pain that is not at all describable. And I told them people, y'all cannot send me out of here. And they said they would help me. I didn't like that kind of treatment because they didn't play. We were cursed out every day. We worked hard. We worked like we were slaves. You could eat off the floor in this place. It was so damn clean. But I stayed there as often as I wanted to leave. The program was 24 months. And they worked me, baby. The only good thing about my job situation, I was screwing my boss, so he couldn't tell nobody where I was. Anyway, I got through that program, and then I called him and said, I'm ready to come back to work, but I got to come back here to this place every night. Because this program follows you all the way through aftercare and then 1 year living on the street. That program worked for me. I wish we had that program today. I finally went back to my job.